This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Climbers, if you have been working hard and being a good climber, and you have been consistently releasing quality content on TikTok, you're freaking out right about now. And if you haven't heard the news, then you're about to freak out because TikTok is on the chopping block here. What does that mean to you? That's what we're going to pull apart today in this episode.
All right, let's go.
Welcome to the club! This is a show dedicated to singers and songwriters and indie artists like you. It's designed to teach you how to create leverage in the music business. C-R-E-A-T-E, create, C-L, leverage, I-N-T, the. That's not in there, though. Not in the clump.
It's not in there. It's a silent T.
M, music, B, business. That's why we called it The Climb. That's a backronym from my good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter, who's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joan Nichols, and more. Got a couple, few number ones in Southern Gospel, top tens in Australia, top tens on Texas radio. The man's everywhere. He's everywhere as you want to be. But what I love about Brent is he helps songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro. And then on the regular, he gets you opportunities to connect with the pros so that you can create the relationship. That's the last piece of the puzzle. You can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com.
Now, I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're helping break artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. It's complicated, but as you're going to find out in this episode, he's smart and he thinks about things. If you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D.
TikTok, 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 TikTok. Boom! Boom.
Question mark?
And what goes on? Question mark? Right. Is that what's going to happen? Boom. Let's figure this out. That's what we're going to unpack today. Before we get there, let's take care of a little business first. Join the Climb community on Facebook. It is facebook.com/groups/The Climb Community. Mm-hmm. So remember, you have to ask to be let in. We let everybody in. You have to be good boys and girls, good climbers while you're in there, or we will, and mark my words, roadhouse you out. Right?
That's right.
If you think you're going to come in and sell siding, to our community, that's a bad idea for a good time. What? You see what I did there?
See what we did there? You'll know. It'll make sense later. Trust me. It'll make
sense.
Shout
out to Tracy Lip.
Yeah. It'll make sense later in a couple of weeks, y'all.
That's right. But anyway, listen, man, we want to hear about all your new music. Put it in as a comment on the New Music Monday. We want to hear about your gigs, right? Put that in the Gig Alert post as a comment every Thursday. And we are there to celebrate your wins and the whole community. We'll celebrate your wins when you put it in as a comment on the New Heights post on Wednesday, which we affectionately refer to as Wednesday Wins.
Right. Yes. So I'm going to share a couple of these, more than we have time to share, which is a good problem. So climber Sunday Jo Graham, not only has she gotten booked for 3 shows in Branson, she just got news that I just got news that an artist wants to cut a song I wrote with Patrick Adams, climber, Brad Hacker, climber, Chris Tiscarino, climber, which we wrote thanks to a song title challenge episode. Artist has a few tweaks he wants to make, so we're meeting to make that happen. So,
nice.
Boom. Speaking of boom, good boom. Song title challenge, paying dividends for our climbers out there, and love hearing that. So, Sunday Joe, when that happens, you got to be sure and drop it in one of our new heights so we can hear the cut when it's out and in the world and in the wild. That's awesome. Let's see. Climber Will Gunnell said, I made it into the top 10 or to the on hold for the Joe Leather Song Start pitch event. Not quite what I wanted it to be, but usually when I'm on hold, the call will be answered. So just a little backstory on that. It's a songwritingpro.com event that we do. It's a co-write pitch event. So I brought in friend of the show, former song title challenger, Joe Leather's hit songwriter. And what we're going to do is I gathered song starts, like verses and choruses from the songwriting pro community. We did through those, found the top 10 I thought would catch his ear in a good way. And then the next 10 are the on hold. We pass them along to him. We do an event. He listens. And then if he loves something, he has the option to go, hey, why don't I finish that with you? So it's a chance. You know, we talk about how Songwriting Pro helps people connect to the pros. This is one of those events. So, Will, good job. It's a good song start. It was killer title on his, by the way. So it's out there, but great title. I'm like, oh yeah. So that's what helped it get in that top 20 spot. But yeah, congrats y'all and keep on climbing.
Nice. All right. Well, make sure that you follow the podcast on whatever platform you consume your podcasts on. Don't forget we're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can go over there and look at our ugly mugs if you want to, if you want to.
That's right.
And tell a friend about it.
See what happens when you forget we're on camera.
Tell a friend about it. That's the best thing you can do, man. If you're getting benefit out of this, if this is changing your life, then turn some other musicians on it. Turn some other writers, some other artists that you know. Let them know that they can find gold in them thar hills at the climb. All right? So let's get into this. Everybody's put articles out on this now. The news is out. Mm-hmm. TikTok is looking at what's called a forced sale bill that has now shockingly advanced past the House of Representatives in the United States with a bipartisan approval. So it's, you know, everything else is, even the what toilet paper they're going to use is split upon party lines.
Right.
Now it moves on to the Senate, and this could spell trouble for some people.
Yeah. President Biden has said he would sign it if it gets to his desk.
Yeah.
And so basically what this is saying, hey, the ByteDance, which is the owner of TikTok, I guess, or developer, they're basically with the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, they're a Chinese company, and any company that does business in China is beholden to the Chinese government because that is how the Chinese government works. I've been there, right?
Yep.
So there are some major concerns here as far as not only data breach concerns going, hey, you know, anytime the government in China can come in and say, hey, ByteDance, we want all that data you've been gleaming from those TikTok users everywhere. So there's security concerns there. And then there are other kind of concerns about what the Chinese government may be doing to try and destabilize things in the United States. Isn't that where like a lot of this is coming from, kind of the security concerns and that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, it's definitely national security issues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much TikTok's already been banned, I'm pretty sure, in just about all, well, and I know it's in all federal government facilities. Like when you're on the job, you can't have TikTok if you're working for the federal government. And I'm pretty sure most state legislatures as well. Mm-hmm. If you work in any way for any state, I don't think you can have that. And the first state itself to ban the citizens of a state from using TikTok has already happened. That's in Montana. So, man, it seems like, first of all, this isn't the first round of adversarial shenanigans that TikTok's had to go through. You know, they've been on the chopping block a lot. So this isn't new for them. And I like that you pointed out that ByteDance is the company that actually owns TikTok. So let's get into, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to unpack some of this article here from Digital Music News, and then we'll jump in on it and kind of give you what we think is happening here. But it's shocking that there's a bipartisan vote that came out of the House.
Yeah, my understanding is the committee that looked at this, so Republicans and Democrats, came out unanimous in this.
Yeah.
And when did Republicans and Democrats agree on anything?
It's not unanimous, though.
Well, out of the committee.
It's the fact that they can agree on anything.
I heard it was unanimous out of the committee, like 50 people in the House were on the committee.
Oh.
So out of committee, and then it passed the House by I don't know what the vote was there, but like for a committee that looked at all the stuff, like opened the hood and looked all the transmission and all the dirty details.
Yeah.
They came out unanimous, which is like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and before we kind of dive in the article too, I'll point out that one of the angles that you brought up to this is has to do with what happens on TikTok in America. Like just FYI, in China, where TikTok is prevalent, they don't see any of the crap that we see on TikTok.
They learn math on TikTok in China. That it's like they do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the only content they see is how great China is, and you know, it's very much a propaganda machine there for sure.
Yeah.
And the stupid stuff, and it's not just a propaganda thing, which can leave a certain taste in your mouth, but also, like you said, they're learning math. It's like, it's more wholesome than watching a fail video for a half an hour. You know, you're not going to get that in China. So they're worried about like, what's it doing to the kids, but are they really worried? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's free speech in China.
Yeah, that's right. So 352 representatives supported the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act today after the measure exited committee, which is the committee you were speaking about, Brent, in a unanimous vote last week. So yeah, everybody at the committee is like, this has got to go. Meanwhile, 65 lawmakers, which comprised of 15 Republicans and 50 Democrats, so it's 1-5 Republicans, 5-0 Democrats, opposed the bill. And the pushback might offer a preview as to the arguments that could come up as the Senate weighs in the legislation. So this bill kind of goes on trial, essentially, in the Senate, right? Mm-hmm. It was incredibly rushed from committee to vote in 4 days with little explanation. That was the comment from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which what the comment she gave to summarize her no vote, she chose not to vote at all. She's like, we need to read more about what's going on. There's serious antitrust and privacy questions.
She's like, yo, that's my base.
Yeah, right. And any national security concerns should be laid out to the public prior to a vote. So on the other side of the aisle, some lawmakers have taken issue with the bill's comparatively broad scope. As Digital Music News reported, closer to the beginning of March, the act would seemingly enable the possible forced sale, not only of TikTok, which is the named platform here on this bill, but based on the term, quote unquote, foreign adversary and the president's discretion to determine which covered companies, quote, present a significant threat to the national security of the United States, end quote. Different apps, websites, and it's given the president a lot of power to screw with a platform, right? I mean, they could literally say the one that President Trump's on, they could just say that's a threat to the United States of America and ban the app.
If it's owned by a foreign, if it has that connection to the foreign thing, right?
Well, no, they can just, it just, what, part of what they're arguing is that it gives the president, any sitting president, this discretion, this large, you know, a whole lot of power to just say, I feel like that's a threat to national security. As long as it is, they can, you know, so it's essentially not specific to foreign adversary language. It's saying
it might be in the headline, but it's not in the text.
Yeah. What is considered a foreign adversary doesn't have to be foreign. You know, what is considered.
Yeah.
Because essentially a foreign adversary presents a significant threat to national security, right? But now we can go and say, well, what else provides a significant threat to national security, right? So is it a slippery slope? Is it not? I mean, that's the question. But
yeah, the bottom line is, I guess we'll leave that to the pundits to figure out. Because what some people are saying is like saying during the Cold War, you'd let the Soviet Union, you know, you wouldn't let them run like CBS. Or something,
right?
You know, and decide so much of what people are seeing because, like, they don't have any of our best interest in mind. So it's the same kind of thing. But then you have free speech and Pandora's box kind of slippery slope arguments on the other side.
Yeah,
I don't guess we'll really go into that because you know what? I'm not in the Senate. I'm not going to vote.
No, we're not going to go.
What we're
that.
Talking about is what do we do about this? What might happen, and how do we respond?
But I do want to unpack the specifics so that everybody has a reference here on like what's going on. If you haven't had a chance to read any of these articles, I want you to know what's happening, where we're at right now, and then we're going to kind of dig in a little bit, okay? So also featured prominently in the bill are clauses that would stop internet companies and app stores alike from providing services for or involving foreign adversary controlled applications. The passage of the House TikTok ban is not just a misguided overreach. It's a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, and disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. That's the comment from Senator Rand Paul that he left on Twitter. Moving beyond the many other remarks from lawmakers about this act here, it's called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. The exact timetable associated with the legislation Senate vote is unclear. So we don't know when they're going to vote on it. We're also unclear if the measure's outlook in the chamber, where ByteDance and the long controversial TikTok here are, they're reportedly lobbying heavily. Of course, they're throwing money at this thing like crazy.
Yeah.
And to your point before, Brent, the White House has signaled that the President Biden would sign the bill should it reach his desk. So after that, the penalties described in the legislation will go into effect. Like if it does reach the president's desk, he does sign it, it does go into law, then the penalties that are put forth in the legislation would go into effect for all foreign adversary controlled apps 180 days after an act. So 6 months after they pass the law. Predictably, TikTok is not going to stand by here. They're, you know, lobbying hard, and they're already getting ready for the appeals and everything they have to do to try to keep this in play. Mm-hmm. Worth noting in conclusion is that it's the, you know, again, it's not the first or even the second time TikTok has been staring down a possible ban or forced sale in the states. So it does seem that the congressional push appears to have, for the first time, have a lot of momentum behind it. And we've already got prospective buyers that are kind of lining up to purchase this if it happens. So
yeah. So kind of what they're saying is, depending on, you know, devil's in the details, but basically broad strokes, my understanding is going, hey, ByteDance, you are beholden to the Chinese Communist Party, the government. We don't trust what you're up to with all the data stuff and your algorithm and choices, all whatever. So bottom line is you got to either sell to a non-foreign adversary owner, right? So sell.
They got to spin it off. Yeah, they got to spin off TikTok from the ByteDance.
Yeah, you got to sell TikTok. So therefore, it's kind of not controlled and beholden to any sort of foreign adversary, or you're not going to be available in the App Store anymore. It's kind of what it comes down to, right?
Yeah.
So in the U.S.
And there's overreach there, like the government telling the app stores, like these are private companies, you know, Apple, and you know what they can and cannot have on their apps is, that's what it's coming down to.
Right. But that's what it's coming down to is going, hey, you got to sell or you're gone in the US, buddy. So, which leaves us.
So what could happen is they could be just banned. And if ByteDance says, you know, this is a moneymaker for us on the rest of the world, we don't need the United States. Mm-hmm. They don't divest. It's just banned in the United States. And that's that. So that's one door. We're going to walk through each of these doors. Okay. That's door number one. Door number two is ByteDance could divest it, right? And likely what's going to happen, because let's not forget here, when it comes to real life, money talks and BS walks, you know, ByteDance could partner up with some other American company that has their name on it and has the DNA of a non-foreign adversary, and ByteDance can still participate in all the revenues. And whether or not they can have the same access to all the data or not remains to be unseen, but they could just outright sell it to somebody else, or they could create a company and make it look like a sale and still kind of be involved in the back room. Who knows how that'll happen, but that would keep TikTok in play, mm-hmm. right? So you still are able to do what you need to do, or nothing could happen, right? More the bill, this will be one of many bills now that has just never made it into the light because, I mean, listen, so much of the media stock and everything is owned by China. Has a lot of power in this country.
Yeah.
So like if they tell Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whoever your favorite place is, I promise you China has a huge, huge stock portfolio with those stock. They have a lot of power to be able to tell the media what to do and what not to do.
So what it comes down to is either TikTok's going to go away in the US or it's not.
Yeah.
So what happens
if it does?
What happens if it does?
Right.
Right. That's what we're looking at today. That's what I'm curious about is like, okay, we got a lot of people out here that have been doing their best to do social media on TikTok, growing their followers. What does this mean if it goes away?
Yeah. I mean, Janelle and I personally have friends that make a living on TikTok, a nice living on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Okay. I'm just going to bring this vertical into your radar screen because it's an industry that's using these platforms like TikTok and Reels and Shorts on YouTube for the right reason, right? You don't have to agree or disagree with the industry. It's up to you. But if you've ever gone through just sort of random feeds where it's not curated by you, you have all those choices you can make. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of, you know, girls on there that are driving traffic to their OnlyFans accounts, right?
Okay.
They're making money on their OnlyFans accounts doing whatever it is that they do. But they have storefronts that are open on TikTok and Instagram Reels and Facebook Reels, mm-hmm. and where they're doing stuff, you know, that's a little risque within the policies of those platforms. But the whole intention is to drive traffic to the moneymaker, which is
the whole intention is to get you off the platform that you're currently on and onto their platform.
Right. It's to get you off that platform onto this other platform where they can really get you off. Right. Like that's the deal.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the way that all artists should be thinking about this, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to be, you know, diversifying, right? You want to be putting content up on TikTok. You can put the same content up on Instagram Reels and Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts. And don't think because you've got all this momentum on TikTok and you only get like 200 views on YouTube Shorts, mm-hmm. that it can't happen for you there.
Yeah.
My guess is you're probably putting more attention towards TikTok.
Yeah.
Understandably, because that's where you're getting the momentum from. And now it could go away. But this TikTok threat, like as my dad used to say when I was a little kid, son, you're going to meet an a-hole like that every single day of your life. When I would talk to him about bullies, you know, like this mm-hmm. is a threat that just because it's not in the news and there's no legislation is constantly lurking around the corner for you.
Yeah.
Whether it's from a government intervention or whether it's from the company going under, you know, there's been plenty of platforms like Vine and what was before, what was the thing?
I mean, there's MySpace.
MySpace. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's been a bunch that have come and gone, right? Because they mm-hmm. just couldn't monetize right. They didn't know how to get it done right. And that's a real possibility.
Or what if you know, was something we ran into back during the lockdowns and everything, when stuff got very political and you can get kicked off platforms, deplatformed for something that you said or some belief that you hold, yeah. or something that yeah. like, oh, I'm here for music, but I mentioned, you know, this kind of thing and that kind of thing that was considered political. Now all of a sudden I'm considered misinformation or whatever by whoever's in charge of the company. Now all of a sudden my stuff's getting throttled and all of a sudden
or you're shadow banned. Yeah.
Shadow banned on this particular platform. They don't see me. But hey, if you diversify your portfolio, for example, say I get shadow banned on Facebook, but you know what? I'm still rocking on TikTok or I'm still rocking on X or vice versa. It doesn't matter the platforms.
Yeah.
But that sort of thing is like, that's part of the reason you want to diversify. It might not just be like this big legislation thing. It might be something else.
So if the law passes and let's say that ByteDance chooses not to sell and therefore they're going to pull that app from your phone, mm-hmm. are they going to wait 180 days to do that? Like the law state? Maybe, because that's when the penalties start coming in. Mm-hmm. Probably they'll wait because they'll be busy trying to appeal it, right? But yeah. here's the point. The clock is ticking. And because of what we mentioned prior to this, which is that any platform could go away at any time for any reason, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be Facebook's going to do something different or Instagram's going to do something different than Reels and they're going to ditch Reels. Yeah. And they're going to, you know, like look at Instagram IGTV. That was an idea that came and went. Yeah. And mm-hmm. if you were really good on that surface of Instagram, it doesn't necessarily carry over to your account. So what are you driving traffic to, mm-hmm. right? Like you really need to be funneling these people. You need to be looking at these services like a storefront, you know, a soapbox you can stand on and get some attention and get a crowd. But it's what you do with the crowd that matters. Mm-hmm. And this goes from if you're starting out on TikTok all the way up, if you're making seven figures on TikTok, you've got time to try to find out who these people are, to get them to follow you on Instagram Reels, mm-hmm. get them to follow you on YouTube Shorts, to get them to follow you on Facebook, to get their email address, like we talked about, Brent. Mm-hmm. you should have their email. Like, what can you give them, right? Just telling them to sign up for your newsletter is a bad idea, right?
Yeah. Nobody wants to sign up for more emails.
No.
What you can do, though, is go, hey, here's a special acoustic version or some alt version, remix, with a guest, whoever, that is a free download. Tell me where to send it. And then in exchange for that, you get their email address. And now it doesn't matter if all the social media platforms go away. You can still email them and let them know you got a show coming to their town.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the people who are going to be the most worried about this are the people that are going to have the most to lose. And the people that are going to have the most to lose have the biggest audiences. And the people that have the biggest audiences are going to have influence over those audiences. Yes. So I would be doing this now.
Yes.
Just in case, because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I would be moving them to email, moving them to your other platforms so that you can set up shop there. Yes, it's a pain in the butt. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's
more time.
You could argue it's not fair. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, like you did all this work and guess what? The government says now you can't play over here in the sandbox. Man, that happens a lot.
I mean, that happens with business regulation all the freaking time.
Every single day.
Guess what? You're in business, and this might be a government regulation that affects your business. Like looking at these different social media platforms, yeah, don't look at them as your business. Look at them as places where you advertise your business.
Yes.
Right, but they are not your business. Yes. Or at least if they are, you have diversified enough that any one of them can go away. You'll survive.
Or if they're not, you need to be diversifying, right? Like right. If you're so, if you're like, if TikTok's your winner, right? If that's your money platform there, you can, first of all, you did it on TikTok. You can do it on Reels. You can do it on Shorts. You can do it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But you know, how are you going to get them over there? Like, what are you going to do to make that happen?
Maybe, no, maybe you do. And we're not saying stop using TikTok. We're just saying, as you're doing this, like keep an eye.
That's right.
Maybe you do something. I'm just brainstorming here going, hey y'all, you know, link in bio, if you can do that, whatever, on TikTok. And I'm going to have a special Instagram live or this thing's going on only over there. Come on over there and let's meet up over there.
Yes.
And that way they got, if they want, if they're into you and those are your hardcores,
yep,
they're going to go over there to find that special stuff. I'm going to do a live performance only over on this platform. And you start throwing those out there where your hardcores are going to go follow you, find you there. And really all that does is, how many of us only live on one platform?
Yeah.
Not many of us, I would imagine, right? And so as you're diversifying these different platforms, all that does is get you in their various feeds more often. Now I see you on Facebook. I see you on X. I see you on Instagram. I see you on TikTok. I see you on whatever. All over the place now. You just get more famous to them if you get them over there to your other platform.
Yeah. When you're at six, there's nuance to every algorithm on every single surface, on every single platform, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But when you're at 60,000 feet, the main engine of the algorithm is the same, mm-hmm, right? They're looking for content that catches a little heat, whatever their criteria is to define what enough heat is, mm-hmm, a lot of shares, a lot of views, a lot of, and then what they do is they throttle it up, mm-hmm, right? The algorithm throttles it up because the more people that see it, the more people are spending time on the platform, the more they can charge for ads and the more, certainly the more feeds they have to put ads in. So it's in their best interest, you guys, to throttle you up. They don't want to throttle you down to keep you at the 1% to 3% normal organic range that are just your besties,
right,
to push you into ads. Now, if they could make everybody go viral all the time, each of these platforms would be bigger than Amazon with all the people that are on it, right?
Yeah.
That's not the case. So, you know, have faith, like the same techniques and strategies that you use to grow this audience on TikTok are also going to work on Instagram. They're also going to work on YouTube Shorts. They're also going to work on Facebook Reels as well.
Yeah.
So you want to be diversifying. You want to get people over there now, and still you can continue to play as if TikTok's not going away and stay there and make hay while the sun is shining for sure. But you do need to be dragging people across to these other surfaces and or getting their email address so that you can stay in touch with them, mm-hmm, and let them know what's going on. And my, you know, my guess is a lot of money on the table here. I don't think TikTok goes away. I think the worst case scenario for ByteDance is they're forced to sell it, in which case they're going to make a bunch of money, but they think it could be worth more 5 years from now.
Yeah.
And they're probably right, but the government's going to say, nope, you're out, take your money and run. And this company's going to run it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, somebody like Facebook come in and buy it, you know? I mean, wouldn't that be interesting? Then you can run TikTok ads from your Facebook ads platform. Oh my God, that's a dream for me. I would love that, you know? So there could be a lot of good things that are bad things that are happening, but that's all we got to say about in this episode here. I just want to like, you know, you've got to think like a business person now. If you've got significant traffic there, you need to start shepherding them over to other services, and you need to be putting as much attention to some other surfaces like Instagram Reels that you've been putting towards TikTok. It can be a little of a time suck, you know, for you going forward, but that's just the way it is, man. You have to, you know, and that way, if it doesn't happen, it's not all for nothing. Now, maybe you've done enough work that you can monetize or monetize more this other surface that wasn't significant to you before, but now it is. And what does this make happen, right?
Yeah, what does this make possible, right?
Not let's complain about TikTok and everything's going out the window and I'm going to lose my livelihood and all that. Like that, I promise you, that line of thinking and that mindset is going to do nothing but cause you harm.
Right. Let your competition think that way.
Yeah, exactly. So keep a positive attitude and do your stuff. And, you know, hey, for those of you who never wanted to get on TikTok because it's just too new and too weird and too real, like, and it goes down the tubes, you were right. But I'd like to think you're on Instagram doing something, but you're probably not either. Because you need to market better. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that, guys. Hey, get your digital strategy in order. Download my free PDF. I think it's like 36 pages, y'all. It's pretty stout. It's really going to break down why broadcast worked, what broadcast is, why radio, television worked when it worked, why it's not working now. And then it's going to unpack and define digital so you have a clear understanding of the psychological exchange that happens between people on a digital platform so that you start, you got all this data and you'll be like, okay, if we can't get to 7 on digital, how do we get to 7? You can start asking the right questions. And that's going to make your content better and help you break on digital. It's called Whoever Owns the Traffic. Whoever owns the traffic rules the road. I was right from the beginning. I got scared. And then I came back. I was like, I was right. Whoever owns the traffic rules the road. Just go to getfromjohnny.com, J-O-H-N-N-Y, and tell me where to send it. It's yours free, guys. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.